الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آجكل
Hazur says that nowadays certain countries of the continent of Africa are celebrating the Golden Jubilee of their independence. Within these celebrations, our Pan-African Association are also taking part. This association was formed here during the era of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi, the fourth Khalifa, may Allah be pleased with him. And this association consists of African Ahmadi brothers. But in any case, as I said, this association is also partaking in the celebrations of African countries and are holding programs to this effect. They also said to me that upon this occasion we are organizing a function. Please attend it. So, inshallah, God willing, I will be attending that function that they are organizing. But today, with reference to freedom, I would like to say a few words before you. Freedom from slavery and freedom of religion and freedom of conscience are great blessings. Africa is that continent in which the majority of countries for a long period of time were subjugated countries and lived enslaved. For this reason, the celebration of the independence of these countries and commemorating the jubilees are most certainly for them extremely significant. And this is their due right. May Allah make it so that this freedom, which they have obtained 50 or 60 years before today in various countries, may it be a true form of freedom, and may they never ever again be chained in that slavery. In fact, if with a pious intention, if with trustworthiness and honesty, if with justice, they derive benefit from this freedom, then it is not implausible that at a certain time, the continent of Africa in the years to come will lead the entire world. If we glance at the history of religions, the founders of the religions, and also the Anbiya, the prophets who come from Allah the Almighty, amongst the important tasks which they are commissioned for, one of the most important and significant tasks is freedom. Be it freedom from tyrannical rulers and pharaoh-like leaders, or be it as a result of religion being distorted, or those who in the name of religion, those so-called caretakers of religion, who for their own vested interest carry out ceremonies or religious rituals. And they place yokes around the necks of people, so providing freedom from this kind of slavery is also provided. Every form of freedom is brought about by the Anbiya, the prophets. But it is most unfortunate that many nations fail to understand this reality, and they rejected the true standard bearers of freedom. By doing so, they were not only deprived of true freedom themselves, in fact, they came under the wrath of Almighty Allah and were destroyed and pulverized. Such people gave preference to worldly rulers and being subjugated and enslaved to them, rather than choosing to be enslaved to the Ahkamul Hakimin, the best of judges. They gave preference to that other type of slavery, rather than that type of slavery, through which new avenues of freedom are opened. So therefore, by changing their preferences and priorities of freedom, not only did they go on losing their freedoms, but in fact, they ruined their life in this world and in the hereafter. Therefore, if you delve deep into the depths of the study of freedom, then true freedom is brought about through the source of the Anbiya, the Prophets. And the biggest sun of freedom that we find before us, the rays of which spread far and wide and encompasses every single form of freedom, that is the person of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He provided freedom from apparent slavery, and he also provided freedom from those people who had various yokes tied around their neck. So he also freed them from that type of slavery as well. In fact, by connecting with him in the true sense today, also, his person is a tremendous source of attaining freedom. God Almighty addressed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of all prophets. So this encompasses all worldly and spiritual matters, and in the process provides a seal. So therefore there can be no doubt in this whatsoever, that after Allah's testimony, after Allah's proclamation, no good-natured or righteous person can have doubt about this, that it is only and only the seal of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that provides a seal of all forms of excellences. And the pinnacle of all these excellences are found in the person of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, when the height and pinnacle of every task and every matter were to be fulfilled through the person of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, therefore the excellences of bringing about freedom in any way, shape or form were to only be brought about through his person, and this is exactly what occurred. The world witnessed that these excellences with a great splendor and a great glory were fulfilled through his person. And until today, those who connect with him in the true sense are witnessing how this is being fulfilled. The perfect book that was revealed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is also called Khatamul Kutub. Within it, the subject of freedom has been expounded with different references and also in different forms. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Usfa-i Husna, most perfect example, glorifies and enhances this beautiful teaching further. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty says in one place, "Fakku rakaba," that is, to free one from bondage, or this can be explained in other words, to free a slave, or to support someone in attaining freedom. Allah the Almighty then says in one verse, a part of which only I shall read out, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالصَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. And spends his money for love of him to the kindred, the orphans and the needy, the travelers and those who ask for charity, and those who free people from bondage or free the captives. Hazur says, in other words, to free people from slavery. If we place this in context of what is being said preceding to this part of the verse, then what has been expounded is that this is a great form of piety, that after believing in Allah, in believing in the last day, in believing in the angels, in the books, and in the prophets, these are those pious acts that when a person acts upon them, enables him to achieve nearness to God. included amongst these is also the freeing of slaves. Therefore, in order to maintain the state of one's faith, in order to go on performing pious deeds and to establish the highest levels of righteousness, the freeing of slaves or to free any human life is a great and major form of piety. There are numerous examples relating to this found in the hadith in one hadith, which is a narration of Bukhari, in which Hadrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, has narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say that whichever Muslim would free a slave, Allah the Almighty would grant him complete salvation from the fire of hell. Islam then teaches the freeing of slaves as expiation. This teaching is found in many places in the Holy Quran. In one place, the Holy Quran teaches that if a Muslim accidentally kills another Muslim, then he should free a slave and also give blood money. This punishment is not limited to only the killing of a believer. Or this has not been elucidated if only a Muslim has been killed, that is, a freeing of a slave. Rather, what has been said is that if you have a pact with any nation and a disbeliever of that nation is killed by you, then in that instance also a slave is to be freed. Then, in terms of the various punishments of breaking an oath sworn by God, where various possibilities have been given according to one's capacity, that if this is not a punishment, then this should be the punishment, and if not this, then this punishment should be meted. One of the punishments being mentioned is the freeing of a slave. So thus, the freeing of slaves on different occasions that has been cited has been mentioned for the reason that Islam gradually wants to eradicate slavery altogether. In the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the time preceding the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the keeping of slaves was a normal practice. With the advent of Islam, in order to eradicate this slavery, it has given emphasis on this subject at different occasions, as I have explained. In fact, we find a narration in the hadith related by Asma bint Abi Bakr. She says that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would say to the Muslims that when the solar eclipse occurs, then free a slave. That is, those who can manage to do so, those who are able to free a slave, they most certainly should free a slave upon the eclipse of the sun. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upheld the honor of the slaves and safeguarded their rights in an excellent way. It is mentioned in the hadith that there were seven brothers. They had one slave shared between them. On one occasion, one of these seven brothers became enraged with the slave. In his anger, he firmly slapped that slave. When this incident came to the knowledge of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then he stated that free this slave. You do not have the right to keep this slave any longer because you are not aware of how to treat the slave in a good manner. In short, if we delve into that era, when keeping a slave was a normal practice, for those who were rich, keeping a slave was a great asset. The more slaves a person possessed, the more he would be deemed to be wealthy or rich. Rich people would keep slaves. At such circumstances, this commandment is given that if you desire true wealth, that is the wealth of faith, it is better for you that you should free slaves. Provide the means of the freeing of slaves. Upon this commandment, the Sahaba, the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, according to their capacity, they freed dozens, sometimes thousands of slaves. It is said regarding Hadrat Usman bin Affan that he freed 20,000 slaves at just one instance, and separate to this, at other times, he also freed thousands of slaves. Other companions freed dozens of slaves, so they freed slaves according to whatever their capacity was. For those who had slaves to carry out different tasks, the Islamic teaching upon them was that treat them like brothers. Whatever you wear yourself, clothe them with. Whatever you eat yourself, feed them with. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's own Usfa model was such that when, after marriage to Hazrat Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, she gave all her possessions and slaves to him, he freed them all. Hazrat Zayd bin Harithah was one of those slaves. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, adopted him as his son. He treated him with such compassion, kindness and love that when Hazrat Zayd's real parents came to retrieve him, Hazrat Zayd refused to go with him. In short, it was the extremely kind and loving treatment of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It was the supremely excellent benevolence of the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that Hazrat Zayd preferred slavery to freedom. As a result of that love of the Holy Prophet, Hazrat Zayd left behind his blood relations. Therefore, those who raise objections against Islam and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, cannot offer even the tiniest fraction of an example, the like of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that anybody could have provided means to this extent for the freedom of slaves and for the freedom of humanity. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to his followers that when you are ascertaining work from your slaves, treat them in a good manner. And if you give them difficult work to carry out, then give them a helping hand. Therefore, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, transformed the history of slavery. It is a result of this that one Italian Orientalist, Dr. Viglieri, has written that the custom of slavery has existed since the outset of human civilization itself, and it continues even today. Pertaining to the nomadic Muslims or to the civilized Muslims, the state of slavery amongst them was far better than the other people's. It would be unfair to compare the slavery in Eastern countries with the slavery that existed 100 years before today. In the Hadith, the traditions of the Prophet, we find great human compassion. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, says, "Do not say that he is my slave. In fact, say he is my son. And do not say that she is my female slave. Rather say that she is my daughter." Then this Orientalist writes that if we reflect upon these accounts from a historical perspective, then we would become aware that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in this respect brought about a spectacular reform. Prior to Islam, a person who could not repay a debt faced the possibility of losing his freedom. Hazur says, that is, a person took a loan from someone in those times and was unable to repay that loan. Until he repaid that debt, he would become enslaved to the debtor, or at least that was a possibility of becoming a slave to that person he owed the money to. So this Orientalist continues that after Islam, no Muslim could enslave another free Muslim. The Prophet of Islam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did not only limit slavery. Rather, he also introduced regulations, and he also inculcated Muslims that march onwards in this regard, to the extent that such a time arrives when slowly but gradually all slaves would be free. Hazur said, this Professor Viglieri wrote this book in Italian, which has been translated into English. At one time, the USA Jamaat published this book. In this book, the teachings of Islam have been presented in an excellent manner. In fact, this book should be republished. If the rights from that time are not preserved under anybody's name and the American Jamaat had permission to publish it, they should republish it then. This book is sufficient to render speechless those opponents who raise allegations against Islam and the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, this teaching, this usfa, that is, this model, which even non-Muslims cannot remain without praising and admitting, this is that excellent model and excellent teaching which is the reality of human freedom. I have presented a few examples from the Holy Quran and the Hadith. We find countless injunctions, guidances and counsels within them. It is this true teaching by following which the world can attain real freedom and peace, justice and reconciliation can be established. Those who have acquired freedom in Africa, it is the responsibility of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, of those who have become Ahmadis, that they should spread these teachings to the maximum degree possible. They should bring people under the submission of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they can become familiar with the reality of freedom. By just commemorating a one-off golden jubilee, freedom will not be established. Freedom will be established when you understand this reality. That is, both the rulers and also the public, of how we are to maintain this freedom. And for this, what means are to be adopted for that freedom to be maintained? That means will only be found in the Usfa-i Hasana, the perfect example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Holy Quran. Vigdari has only stated that a Muslim cannot be enslaved, but in a true Muslim society, it can never occur that anybody becomes a slave. This is also extremely important for a Muslim, and he should always bear this in mind, that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, before his demise, his final counsel to his ummah, that is to the Muslim community at large, was this: that do not forget my teachings regarding prayer and also slaves. However, it is most unfortunate that the majority of Muslims, in particular, the leaders and the people in authority, that they have forgotten these two very teachings. They neither display that interest and that passion and zeal in their prayers, nor do we find the fear of God within them, and nor are there any attempts to remove slavery. Although that form of slavery does not exist as such today, where slaves are bought with cash. However, in the name of the government, the public are treated like slaves. In certain countries where there is restlessness and also tumult, this exists in particular in certain Arab Muslim countries, because the public at large have now realized that we are being treated like slaves. One government emerges on the name of democracy, and it endeavors that whoever is made the leader remains leader for life. After this, his children then take over the government. Those who flatter and also people who have vested interests, they surround these leaders, and they have transformed entirely their preferences and also their priorities. They make every single possible effort to establish their own government. In the process, they fire at even their own people. Then the forces against Islam, or major powers, those powers that have vested interests, in order to realize their personal interests, in order to seize the national resources and the wealth, they fan the flame of the disorder and the uproar of the public, who carry out this disorder in order to free themselves from the cruelty of the government. They come on the pretext of aid. Such a vicious cycle begins that the progress of the nation is taken back 100 years. And the efforts of the public to attain freedom are taken further into enslavement. By coming out of slavery of their own people, they come into the slavery of other powers. If not direct slavery, then indirect slavery occurs. I have stated this before as well, that certain major powers, they have supported certain governments. For years, they keep them in the seat of authority and do not care in any way, shape or form about the public's loss of freedom. When their own interests come to an end in those nations, then in the name of the freedom of the people, they topple those governments and try to remove them from power. But now the situation is such in certain countries where in the recent past the circumstances were such where the government was toppled and new governments came to the fore. Now, observing them, these major powers have become anxious and concerned that the governments that we desire to come into power did not. Those changes that they desired to see did not materialize in certain places, or certain circumstances are emerging where changes cannot occur. So this is becoming a means of the anxiety and restlessness. A new sequence of disorder and a wave of hypocrisy is about to begin. In fact, in certain places, this has already commenced. The public have fallen prey to misconception. They have come out of the slavery of one government and are now falling into the slavery of another government. In fact, in certain places, they have realized that they have fallen into this enslavement. The wealth of the nation, even now, is not being spent on the welfare and betterment of the people, is not being spent to provide them with rights and justice, is not being spent to make them educated, and nor will it be spent for these purposes, because those governments that are now coming into power are bringing with them their vested interests. The poverty and the low standard of living existed amongst the people before. This wishful thinking that this will be removed is incorrect. In fact, this will remain the case. You will witness this in the near future yourself. This has all occurred because the rulers have not acted upon the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's advice. They call themselves Muslims, but they do not implement what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. In earlier times, a person according to his wealth would keep slaves. Now the national wealth is being used to enslave the people of that country. Now even the media have started raising voices, and they are also presenting images that in the countries which generate oil, there is poverty rife. On the one hand, there are golden palaces, and on the other hand, in these countries, there are households in which they cannot afford even two meals in a day. Therefore, by usurping the rights of the people are being enslaved and they have been made into slaves. There was a time when Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, had to recall his forces from the Christian area. Because at that time, due to the strength of the enemy force, the Muslims could not maintain their hold in that foreign area. At that time, the Muslims returned the money to the Christians which they had taken by way of tax. That tax which had been taken for the safety and welfare of the Christians in order to fulfill their rights, that was returned to them. And it was returned to them saying that because we can no longer fulfill your rights, we therefore return this money to you. At that time, the Christian subjects, they would cry. And whilst weeping, they stated that we pray that you should return into power here because we have never seen any rulers like you. Under the Muslim government, the justice and the rights that we have received, we have never received from our own governments. And now in the current time, Muslim rulers are looting the wealth of Muslims themselves. Justice is no longer to be found in a country. Rights are being usurped. Nobody's life or property is safe any longer. And then with great audacity, it is proclaimed that whatever we are carrying out for the people cannot be carried out by anybody else. This revolutionary state that is developed in different countries and through which, as I stated, people with vested interests are deriving benefit. Some people, on the pretext of religion, are making efforts to achieve their personal gains. All of this would never have happened if the rights of the people were granted to the people. That is, if the governments were established in justice, this would not have happened. If the freedoms of the people were preserved and safeguarded, this would not have come to pass. Governments also, instead of being greedy, they should have striven to establish and maintain justice. If they did so, this would not have taken place. I mentioned the religious leaders. Due to the public not possessing religious knowledge, because they are uneducated in terms of religious matters, these religious leaders have introduced incorrect interpretations and also erroneous customs, and have shackled the general public through these wrong customs and wrong interpretations. And in this way, they have enslaved them. Regarding this great Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who came to establish the greatness of mankind, Allah the Almighty says regarding him, يَذَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ, that this Prophet of ours removes their burdens and also removes the shackles that are around their neck. But what is happening instead here today? We find the complete opposite in the current situation. Muslim countries who believe in this Prophet, or who at least profess belief in the Prophet. So after following this Prophet, they should have established justice and honesty, and they should have been models of providing freedom. Other countries, non-Muslim nations, should have been able to look at their justice and honesty and the way that they provide freedom and are progressing, and taken that as an example for themselves. But here we find the contrary to be true. And the Muslim ulama, the clergy, who should have spread the true teachings of Islam, and who should have rid the Muslims of all kinds of innovations, they also have put shackles upon them. So both of these sets of people have shackled the Muslims and the public, have suppressed them, and have enslaved them in this way. Therefore, the blame lies not only with the rulers. In fact, the Muslim ulama, the clergy, are also counted amongst those people who introduce false customs, false doctrines and interpretations in the name of religion, and have played with the sentiments of the people, and in this way have made them enslaves in one respect. This will continue, this will never come to an end, until they accept the chosen person sent by God Almighty, who Allah the Almighty sent in this era to establish human values, who was commissioned to remove all burdens from us and to free us from all shackles, and who taught us to be enslaved in only one way, and that is to be enslaved to Allah and His Rasul, the Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Through this slavery or submission, new avenues of freedom are realized. Justice is observed, equality is manifested, and such a beautiful society is witnessed, where in order to obtain rights, possessions are not needed. In order to acquire freedom, erroneous approaches are not adopted. In fact, in order to give and grant rights, the king and also the beggar both are making efforts together. In short, now, to uphold the honor of the Muslims and to safeguard themselves from every type of disorder, there is only one path alone, that act upon the commands and the teachings of Allah and His Messenger. This is impossible until they do not refrain from denying and rejecting that person who Allah the Almighty sent in this era, to establish those two types of rights. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, at different times, on different occasions, has presented this teaching in a most beautiful manner. This teaching establishes truth and also justice and is a guarantor of permanent freedom. He says that, remember, that a Muslim should ever be ready to discharge the rights of God and the rights of mankind. Just as one verbally regards God as one and without any partner in his person and in his attributes, in the same way one should practically demonstrate this and should treat the creation of Allah the Almighty with kindness and also compassion. The promised Messiah says, until your dealings with each other are not in order, your dealing with God cannot be in order. Although in both of these rights, God has a greater right, but to have a clear dealing with His creation is akin to be a reflection of it. A person who does not have clear dealings with his brother cannot also pay the dues of God. The actual matter is that a person should consider the other as a brother. If one believes himself to be superior, he believes somebody else to be inferior to him, looking down upon others. It can never be expected of him that he will display justice and also brotherhood. In any case, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says further in one place, that the Jama'at or the community that our Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, established, every person within that was of pure nature. Every single one of them sacrificed their lives for their faith. Not even one of them led a hypocritical life. All of them, without exception, paid the dues of the rights of God and the rights of mankind. Hazur says, when faith takes precedence over the world, then only that state can be developed when, becoming purified, a person fulfills the right owed to God. And attention is also then drawn towards fulfilling the rights due to mankind. Today, we do not find a single leader amongst the Muslims or in the Muslim countries who reach to these standards. When rulers desiring of justice who fulfill rights cannot be found, then everybody acts in their own way to obtain their rights. As I stated, those with ulterior motives or vested interests pursue their own gains. And in the name of justice and freedom, new tales of cruelty and oppression begin. Therefore, freedom today, that is in the name of freedom, leaving one type of slavery and entering into another form of slavery. Look in most countries of Africa, or look in other Muslim countries, this is the very state that you will find. If they have freed themselves from the slavery of foreign powers, then their own people have enslaved them. May Allah make it so that the leaders in the Muslim countries and also the leaders of African countries, their political leaders, the army, who often in the name of revolution seizes power upon the governments, also religious leaders, or those who call themselves the ulama, the Muslim clergy, that they understand this reality, that to shackle your fellow citizens in slavery by not treading on the path of justice, by not fulfilling the rights of others, they will come under the wrath of God Almighty. Every ruler will be questioned that did you fulfill the right of your rule? Those responsibilities of yours, did you fulfill them? Or did you fill your coffers with the nation's wealth? You did profess the name of Allah and His Messenger, but did you truly care about Islam? If they answer in the negative, then most surely they will come under God's chastisement, because no lie can be stated in front of God. Nothing can be hidden from the sight of Allah. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty states that true believers are they, who li amanatihim wa ahdihim ra'un, who are watchful of the trust and the covenants. Therefore, leaders will be asked about their trusts. In particular, when they pledge in the name of Allah the Almighty, they pledge that they will look to the benefits of the country, the betterment of the people, the fulfillment of their rights, the establishment of justice, and also for the sake of freedom, they will make every single effort. But it is most unfortunate that for the most part we observe that they loot the national wealth. There are the ulama, the Muslim clergy. They have made religion a way of making money. As I stated, they have introduced incorrect customs, rituals, teachings and doctrines. They shackle the public with those incorrect approaches and they use them only to subjugate the people. The people also do not fulfill their rights. In short, by not fulfilling or honoring the trust due to them, everyone is inviting Allah's wrath and chastisement. The disorder rife in countries nowadays are a natural outcome of all of this. Extremism, financial downturn, general disorder, these are not only circumstances of today. In fact, they are indicating towards a most harrowing and worrying future. For example, in Pakistan, since its independence for 62 or 63 years, all these matters have reached their pinnacle. And every single day we find that these issues increase. Nobody can say what will occur tomorrow. So then how can we expect that the situation will improve in the future? We did obtain freedom from the subjugation of the British. But instead, we have been shackled in the slavery of our own people even tighter. May God Almighty have mercy on our country and also upon our people. That Pakistan, which Qadi Azam at the time of independence declared that here followers of all religions would have religious freedom. And as Pakistani citizens, all citizens were equal. But what is not happening against Ahmadis? Incorrect statements are attributed to Ahmadis. And the Khatamul Anbiya, the seed of all the prophets, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who Ahmadis give preference to being a slavery of over thousands of freedoms, and who are ready to have their necks smited for this purpose, yet they make false accusations against Ahmadis. That, God forbid, Ahmadis insult the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We consider being deprived of our rights as citizens of no value whatsoever, nor do we consider that of any significance. Even if we are deprived of every single one of our rights, we will bear this. And we are tolerating this. But in accordance with the wish of these so-called ulama, Muslim clergy, and with these rulers, we can never separate ourselves from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Why cannot Ahmadis utilize the right to vote in Pakistan? It is for this reason, because they say that your right to vote and your freedom are conditional upon this proclamation that you need to make, that say that you are not Muslim and you are not associated with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By God, every single one of us Ahmadis are ready to be cut into pieces, but we would not even spit on such freedom and right to vote, which would separate us from our master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So therefore, such freedoms are welcome for you worthy people. We prefer the slavery which makes us the dust under the feet of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and in the process makes us true servants of God who have the true depiction of the rights due to God and enables us to fulfill them. and also gives us a perception of the rights due to people and enables us to fulfill those. Inshallah, God willing, a day will come when this very humility of ours, this slavery of ours, will demonstrate to the world the true scenes of freedom. And those people who call themselves free, who are actually shackled, who are chained in bondage, and who are enslaved. There, all the future generations, one day will be proud to be in the slavery of the Messiah of Muhammad. They will then have the perception of the real freedom, for the establishment of which the Holy Prophet Muhammad, the Chosen One, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, arrived. May Allah make it so that the world witnesses this day of freedom quickly, and that the world is saved from those frightening consequences which are caused by rejecting those who are sent by Allah. May Allah the Almighty enable every single one of us, every Ahmadi, to go through these difficult times with patience, steadfastness, and to be able to go through these days in prayers.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر